Hello there, listener. Ash here from your favourite podcast. I do refer to this episode as episode 153, although I have been told it's 154. Justin corrected me on that, would you believe? Just a little bit of admin. The mugs are available. If you do want one, they're £10. If you live in the UK, we can send them out to you. DM me on Twitter. And we will sort that out and we'll get it out to you as soon as possible. How exciting. The only stipulation is if you do buy a mug, you have to send a picture of you enjoying a fresh beverage from that mug. Anyway, please forgive me for saying episode 153. Please enjoy the podcast.
It's episode 153 of the Pranks of Firth podcast. That is the exact number of times Justin Panks has done this podcast drunk, which is an unbelievable coincidence. Justin Panks, come in.
Yeah, boy!
Probably your best start to a podcast, do you reckon?
What, that made my Flavor Flav?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You've
always got a big clock around your neck, haven't you, so you know that it's time to start drinking.
Oh, clock, you said clock. Do you know what, that's my worst... Okay, the worst form of humour isn't sarcasm.
Pretending that you've misheard someone saying
yeah,
clock.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, because I used to play rugby and my position was flanker. And then you talk to someone who didn't really, and they'd go, "What position do you play?" And I go, "Flank." And they go, "What? What? Yeah. Oh, flank." Like, yeah, mate. It sounds a bit like wanker. Then fuck off.
I mean, bearing in mind that's a sport with a position called hooker.
Hooker, flanker. There's a lot of names actually for different positions in rugby. It could be quite confusing
and
to the
football. It's stupid, isn't it? Yes. Plays inside half. What? Centre half. What?
But I guess in football, is the name of the position not dependent on the formation played?
Ah, certainly it is, yeah.
But, like, you know, if you were playing 4-4-2, I guess, because you wouldn't have a centre-half, would you? Well, you have two centre-halves.
You'd have two centre-halves, yeah.
But then if you were playing, like,
centre-backs or central defenders.
Yeah, but if you had, like, if you played, like, the diamond, you have that guy in the pocket, what would you call him?
The anchor.
Is that what you'd call him?
Yeah.
What, mate? Oh, anchor, right. Yeah, sorry, misheard you there.
The anchor, full-backs, wing-backs. Oh, it's
well, in rugby, my position, you would be called open side, like, depending on which side of scrum you were. So you could be called open side or blind side or flanker or back row forward or wing forward.
So what's your job in rugby? I don't really know rugby. What does a flanker do?
Flanker is kind of the fastest of the big guys and...
See, I don't have you down as a pace man.
No, not compared to out-and-out pace man. Would be a wing with the quickest ones, normally. So you wing forwards. You're on the edge of the scrum on the sides. I just play number eight as well. But so the back row is like, you're the first one. You're not as tied into the scrum. You're the ones on the edge that can detach quicker. So you have to be a little bit more pacey.
Scrum,
I'd actually say the ability to read the game was more important than out-and-out pace when you was a back row forward.
And were you the captain?
I was the captain of the school, and then I was the captain of the Colts, and then...
The Norwich Colts?
No, Newmarket.
Newmarket Colts.
And then, it wasn't the captain everywhere I went, but I was always quite, in training and that, I was always quite instrumental. I was quite good at reading the game. I had quite a tactical mind, I think. Not compared to some, but compared to some, yes, I did. But compared to some, no, I didn't. But I was not like one of those quiet... I wasn't just a cog in the machine. I was always sort of like a bit mouthy and would say, oh, I think this, I think that.
I was the captain of my football team, which was at the time called Atletico Benfleet.
Right.
And we won the league and league cup.
And what league?
Sorry?
What league?
The Scepter League. The Scepter Sunday League. Oh,
well, that's a big one then. I thought it was going to be something shit I'd never heard of.
Thank you. Thank you. I played centre back. And it was a good time. We had a good time. I nearly scored an own goal in the biggest... Well, at that point, would have been the biggest game of my life. Ball played over the top. I volleyed it back towards my own goal. And our goalkeeper had to make an incredible...
Because, of course, he would have been able to field a volley, wouldn't he?
He would have been able to field it.
If you volley back to your keeper, he's allowed to pick it up. Hold it.
No. No, if he head it back, he could.
Oh, was it head? I thought you could volley back, and it was
nothing off your foot. No,
unless it's deflection.
And also, you're not allowed to flick it up and nod it back. Like that would be regarded as a pass back, which I think is.
Well,
absolutely...
why have the header back then? That's just confusing it. And so also, if you think
it back,
about it,
if you orchestrate a header back, yeah, I agree.
What about if your defender volleyed it onto your head, you headed it back? Is that allowed?
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, that's stupid.
What about if it was like you flicked it up for... Oh, I don't know.
I don't think you can. But I was going to say, like they say, like if it deflects off your foot, he can pick it up if it's not a deliberate pass back. But I think just say, like in rugby, you can have an accidental knock on. It's still a knock on. Or it's the same. It's exactly the same offence as throwing the ball forward. So it should just simplify it.
What?
It can't go back off your foot, whether it's deliberate or not.
So would you save it? So if you're the goalkeeper, you've got to save it.
You've got to hoof it.
A free kick.
Hoof it.
Yeah, so that... No, so it's going top corner. The shot comes in, hits the defender. It's going goal bound.
Yeah, he's allowed to save it, but he just can't catch it.
Right, okay. Yeah, I think that's right. I think that... I don't know if that is the rule, but I don't know in football.
No. If it's... No, well, unless they've changed it. I remember when they brought it in, it was like... If it was like you took a shot and I stuck my foot out and it bounced off my foot, the keeper could catch it off the defender's foot if it wasn't a deliberate pass back.
Yes, yes.
But then just still, it's just muddy in the waters.
I mean, the whole of football's got muddy waters. There's VAR in games, and they still get decisions wrong. I mean, this...
Well,
ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's foolproof. But, I mean, football was dragged so arrogant, the football FA, and they're so reluctant to change anything. It's just like the discipline with the refs, just fucking change it. If someone gobs off at the ref, just march them 10 metres back towards their own goal.
Well,
like
they
you
did,
do
didn't they, for one season there was the 10-yard penalty, and then that just went away.
Stupid game. There was a big game on Saturday, wasn't there, of course, Ash?
Yeah, that was the only big game, the one on Saturday. No game midweek, luckily.
No, that's good, because we won't talk about any midweek games that didn't happen then. No. But we can talk about the one on Saturday where your rivals lost, of course.
Yeah, that was good. I like that one. But awful game. What an awful, awful...
Well, I was gigging, and I thought it would be empty, but it was actually quite rammed. But I am of an age, Ash, where Liverpool are kind of my Man United.
Yes. So, well, yeah, same here. But Man United are also my Man United. But
Liverpool, yeah, Man United is Man United. But now Chelsea have surpassed everyone as my Man United.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think that could ever be undone either. Like, if they got relegated 4 seasons in a row, I would still hate them. But Liverpool in the 80s were the Man United of their day. And when you look back, it was a much shorter reign than Man United had.
They probably had...
Three seasons like that?
Or maybe a bit more than that. Because, well... Looking back, Liverpool had Paisley, and then they've won the European Cup 6 times now, so maybe a bit more than 3 seasons. But as you were growing up, probably. So yeah, so you hate Liverpool.
I hate most football teams. Actually, I hate football. Actually, I'm going to come out and say it. Yeah, I think it's shit.
I'm growing to.
Yeah, you're coming round to my way of thinking. Question. Here's a question for you to ponder, Ash.
Yes, please.
You're on a tube. London Underground.
Yeah.
It's quite busy. The tube stops at a station. Doors open. Passengers alight. A seat, one single seat, becomes available in your little bit that you're in.
Was I already in it?
You're already in it. This is the thing.
Yep.
You're already in it. You go over and sit down in said seat as an elderly passenger gets on.
Ah.
Now, is the onus on you as the newest member of the seated community? Is it like, do you think there's more of an onus on you to offer your seat up or less because you've only just got a seat?
Well, you're right in as much as, you know, physically less. But other people would be like, well, that wasn't even his seat. He hasn't claimed
that
seat.
This is what I'm saying.
His buttocks has not begun to sink into that chair yet. He needs to stand up and offer it. But I would always, always take the opportunity to take that seat.
Yeah, so you've just sat down and the woman, that's an old woman, she walks on, she looks at everyone and everyone's looking at each other. It's like the end of Reservoir Dogs, just a Mexican standoff. Yeah. And they're thinking, well, that's not your seat, mate. Come on, you sat down a bit prematurely. But I'm thinking, well, you've been sat down for 10 stops. I'm tired. I'm old as well. And I'm older than you. And actually, if you're giving up your seat on age, shouldn't the onus be on the youngest member of the seated community?
Yeah, should.
These are the things I think about. Because as you
also,
might have guessed...
where's the turnover? Imagine the day you get on a tube and someone offers you the seat.
Well, I think that... I was actually thinking that because I've got quite a lot of grey hair. And I was thinking, how much grey hair do I need?
What's your upward limit on age that people might think you are?
I think it's an infirm issue. I mean, a very healthy 7-year-old, I wouldn't. But like a rough-looking, you know, 60-year-old who's frail, maybe got walking stick, No,
sorry, I'm saying, what do you think you could be mistaken for? What's the oldest you could be mistaken for?
53.
Very specific.
Yeah.
Because I used to, when I was in my early to mid-30s, I'd say that was my age. And people would go, no, you're not.
Yeah. Oh, it catches up. When I was mid-30s, I looked 25.
People saying that now. When I say I'm nearly 40, I know I'm not. I know. And then they laugh like, yeah, of course he is.
Yeah. No, and that's also, I've noticed that with my character. Like, it used to be quite a juxtaposition and quite humorous how much of a curmudgeon I was at 25.
Yeah.
And now I'm curmudgeonly. People are like, oh yeah, he's just a curmudgeonly old bloke.
A horrible old man.
Yeah, I've grown into my misanthropy.
Oh God, I hadn't even thought about that side of it. Yeah, I think you're right. I think I'm just a misery.
Yeah, but I was a young codger, and that was kind of incongruous and funny. Ish to me, and some people go, oh, you're such a miserable old man, and now they don't say that because I'm a miserable old man. Yeah. So it would be too on the nose and therefore not offensive, but it would just be like calling a spade.
It is horrible that, yeah, in you could I could probably, if I said I was 45, 46, I think people would believe me.
Well, yeah, when I was when I was about 33, people go, you look about 25. I just think that's cool. I look 10 years younger ish. But now I'm 44 on Thursday. I look about 42, I think. So the gap definitely narrows.
Horrible.
Hey, Ash, stop saying things. It's okay to get like that about... You mustn't say about other people.
I'm saying about me, because you know what's happening to me in just 2 weeks, didn't you? Just a couple of weeks away
your birthday?
From the big one. I'm going to the big one. I remember when you went the big one. It seems so long ago.
That doesn't to me. 40 didn't bother me as much as 30. 30 freaked me out. I don't know why. When the day I turned 30, I started thinking about turning 40. I had a decade of gloom. And then once I turned 40, I was like, oh, I'm still a twat. Nothing changed. Because I think, to me, I'd definitely drawn a line at 40 that people under 40 were sort of like...
So how old are you on Thursday, sorry, did you say?
44.
So I remember you turning 40 and that seems like yesterday, really, if I'm being honest.
And do you know what's happening? Do you know what this month also is?
Father's Day.
No. Well, I don't know, is it? I don't do that shit. But
no, not
10 years, mate, my 10-year in the game.
Is it?
I started in June 2009.
You were 34 years old.
I was a 34-year-old, first-time open-miking comedian, and now look at me. 10 years later, I am...
Plodding along.
Plodding along on the first rung of the ladder, kicking shit.
I reckon you're on the third rung of the ladder. Now.
I think that everyone looks at everyone else and thinks they're a rung up than they are and looks at themselves as a rung down than what they are. I think that's human nature.
So I'm saying, so we both agree. You're on the second rung.
Yeah, and you probably think you're on the second, but I think you're on the third.
No, you don't.
No, just trying to be. Anyway, so that's my tube question.
Because I was on the tube the other day. I hate going into London. I hate the tube.
Yeah, I do. I went from Bethnal Green to Charing Cross, one change. It was very hot. When I got off, I felt like someone had like dipped my head in a bucket of fucking chip fat.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I felt grimy. It's not just sweat, it's like shit sticks to your face.
Down the side of your nose, just oily and horrible. The back of your neck, behind your ears. Oh, God, it's
underneath of your scrotum.
Oh, that little area.
That little bald patch.
Around the sides.
Yeah, the bit that rubs on your pants.
Yeah.
Actually, think about this. The scrotum these days is like... The modern scrotum is like the modern bald man.
I mean, you've got to follow that up, really.
In the old days, when I was a kid, bald men had all hair around the side and a bald bit on top. But they would hang on to that bit at the side. And before I used to trim up and shave, my balls were hairy, but there was a bald spot on the underneath that rubbed on my underpants. On the... Yeah?
What? Oh, wow.
You never had
now
that?
Now we're getting insight.
So if I'd inverted my scrotum, it would have looked like an old bald scientist with like crazy...
If you'd have drawn little eyes on it and some glasses.
Yeah, crazy hair.
Like, yeah, Professor Brain.
Yeah, that crazy hair around the edge. The other upside down ball sack.
Very wrinkly top of his head.
Yeah, exactly. He's scowling.
And a really long nose.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know about that. But even about half scientist,
tiny
half pug.
Pixie nose.
Yeah. So... But now, you don't notice that little bald spot because you shave it all off. Like bald men now, they shave their whole head.
You think that you'd worn away your ball hair on your pants?
Well, when I used to wear like tight briefs, I used to have definitely had less hair on the very bottom where it touched.
I think that might just be an age thing.
No, that's when I was in my 20s.
No, well, that's what I mean. I think
I suppose I used to play rugby and run around and like... You know, like there was a lot of friction down there. But you know, like sometimes you don't have any hair where your socks go.
Oh, yeah. And it doesn't grow back anymore. Like my forearms. My dad's got quite hairy arms. Mine are so hairless. Like there's hair there, but it's pathetic hair.
That's definitely a loss of testosterone as you get older.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You need to lift some weights, mate. Do you know what? And I think, I'm not just saying this, not being stupid this time, but I do think that eating no animal products, I reckon that drops your test.
Oh, you'd love that.
No, I think it's true because a lot of that real fatty amino acids are converted into testosterone in the body.
Does that mean I'm going to live longer, though?
No, it means you're going to live like probably slightly shorter, but a very sort of like, what's the word? Kind of like androgynous existence as a little man girl.
Oh, I'm up for that.
Yeah. How are your erections, Ash?
Powerful.
But I don't believe you. I have never doubted anything you've said more.
Well, did I answer too quickly?
You answered too quickly. And you chose too strong a word.
Sorry, I don't understand the question then.
Have you noticed a dip in your sexual prowess?
No, it never dips.
Got a bend in it. Since you've... I don't know, started your little...
I mean, we had a baby, so it's, you know, I don't use it anymore. I don't know. That's not true.
Oh, come on.
I went on a stag do and...
tell us about the stag do!
I went to Budapest. One of my friends, we were all talking and I was saying, I'm happy. You know, I'm happy. I'm really happy. And he went, yeah, that's because you're still in the honeymoon period of your relationship. I mean, we've been together 8 years.
Why do people think it's impossible to be happy?
It's strange. You're very happy, aren't you? Because you get on. You picked a good one. That's the answer.
You have your moments, but yeah, I mean, you know, it's real life isn't like there's, you know, I think there's a reason. If you think about it, all sort of like fairy tales end when the couple get together, because what happens thereafter?
Don't drag on. No, talking to each other.
You don't want Snow White and Prince Charming arguing about like stacking the dishwasher. That would sort of like kill it. So you leave that bit out. But I think if you communicate, I think it's like this is okay. I think people are like this. Like I think the difference between an arrogant person and a confident person, or someone that you know, it seems like fully formed and comfortable in their own skin, is like you have to admit that you have flaws and you can work on them rather than just think that you don't. Like if you can't admit your flaws, you're arrogant, right? And I think any relationship, you have your ups, you have your downs, you have your rough, you have your smooth, but if you, at the end of the day, if you put the work in, and it can get pretty, you know, you can get close to the edge, but if you can pull it back. But you have to admit that there's imperfections in relationships and within yourself.
Yeah, I think I can admit that I never understand it at all. I don't know what I offer to the relationship. I've said this to my girlfriend, though.
Maybe don't keep telling her that. Yeah, well, she's got a beautiful baby out of it.
Oh, yeah, that'll do.
That you think's yours. So, you know.
Yeah, that is true. We're going to make the big changeover to put her in her own room this week.
Oh, blinding. That's good, isn't it?
I don't know. Will I sleep all right? Because like, I kind of, you know, you hear them coughing and and you think you have to check, make sure they're not dying.
Well, the thing is, when you put them in their own room,
stop caring.
The difference is with babies, out of sight, out of mind, is they don't like quiet because they feel abandoned. So
we have a white noise. That's been the key to this whole parenting arc, is an iPad that plays just a hairdryer running at all times.
Modern parenting, eh? I mean, in the old days, we'd actually use a hairdryer.
Yeah.
So what, is there a hairdryer app? How have you got... What, did you record a hairdryer?
There's a white noise app that makes all different noises, and we found the hairdryer to be the best. So it just drowns out all the other sounds. So it doesn't matter.
Like when you take her out... When you take her out in the terrestrial and she starts kicking off and screaming, like, quickly take her in the toilet and put her under the air blade.
Just dunk her
little... That'll calm her down a bit.
No, but we do put an iPad on to white noise and she does settle down. We did it yesterday, in fact. She went off to sleep.
Maybe she'd be a hairdresser.
No, she'd be a terrible hairdresser. She'd just be constantly falling asleep.
As soon as she puts the blow dryer on, she just crashes out like a narcoleptic, nosedives into...
We've built this child that can't be anywhere near a hairdryer or what other noises are there? I don't know.
Washing machine?
You'd think washing machine, wouldn't you? I'll have a little look on the app and I'll let you know. I'll send you a little link.
Whenever I was on a train and it sort of like starts coasting into the station and making that g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g. You know that noise?
Is that the time you fall asleep?
Yeah, because I was thinking about it. I thought that must be harking back to when I was in the womb and could hear the heartbeat. Because it sounds like you're in the womb and can hear a heartbeat. Because you can sort of hear the noise of the train and that. Do you know the noise I mean?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
When they slow down and they go over the joins in the rails, it goes like g-g-g-g. And I thought, this is womb-like.
Me and my friend Tom went to London once. Well, we used to travel to London every day for work, but one particular day, we fell asleep as we got on the train opposite each other. And I remember waking up, getting into Fenchurch Street, which is about 45 minutes, and I felt like I had a full night's sleep. I don't think I've ever had such a rewarding sleep as that one, ever before or since.
Don't they say there is an optimum nap where if you go over it, you can feel groggy, but it's about 20 minutes, isn't it?
Oh, is it? I bet I got that just perfectly on the money.
Yeah, I think there is a nap where you just drop into the deep bit, because you sleep. Sleep's really complicated, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't sleep well. I was awake from 4 till 6 this morning. It's fucking annoying.
Why?
Because I just said I don't sleep that well.
Why?
I kind of woke up and thought, Edinburgh is 2 months away and I haven't written one word of my show. That's one of those ones. So what have I done today?
I don't want you to start writing. What have you done today? You have had a lovely breakfast.
Walked into town. Paid in my check for my gig on Saturday.
Yes.
Check. Fuck me. Went to Wilkinson's, as it used to be called, Wilco's now. That's an odd one, isn't it?
Where they shortened it, because people just called it Wilco.
People called it Wilco, so they went with it. That's like when a mate gets too attached to his nickname.
Yeah. Well, though, saying that, we've got a mate called... I didn't even know his name was James until maybe 5 years after knowing him. Never even thought to ask. We called him Spud.
Yeah.
And but his family, like that side of things, call him James.
Yeah.
So if we go somewhere, it's like, oh, what's James doing? Who are you talking about?
Spud. Yeah, but nicknames are weird, aren't they? Like, some nicknames just... If you're introduced to someone as their nickname, I'll go, what's your actual name?
Yeah.
Because I'm a bit weird.
Well, I don't really like nicknames anyway.
It's a bit laddie, isn't it?
I normally think they're a dick.
Oh, anyway, so getting back to the stag do.
Back on the stag.
You sent me a picture of the stag all dressed up like a woman,
but I don't think I like the whole like embarrassing the person either. I don't think I like any of that. I don't think I like...
No, it's just shit.
But I understand it's for people. Some people really like it. Like, people find that hilariously funny. And don't
do you know
wrong,
some
I
people
laughed.
Like Ash?
I did laugh.
Do you know what some people like?
Tell me. Mrs. Brown's boys.
Yeah, Mrs. Brown's boys. Rape.
Oh, Christ.
Well, they do, don't they? Rapists do. That doesn't mean you've got to go along with it. You're allowed to
I
look at things.
I don't think I would dress someone up, or and I certainly wouldn't do it.
Mm. No, I agree. I there's a certain comedian that loves dressing up, and I fucking hate him. Like, all his pictures of him dressed up. Like,
I mean, I wouldn't go. I went to a fancy dress party once.
No, never been. Hey, I tell you what, I went when I was driving back through London. I was going past a club on, is it Cambridge Heath Road, the Metropolis?
I don't know.
Well, it's like a club, and I was driving past, and there was all queuing up, and I was looking at them going, "What are they? They were like, now people go clubbing. They're wearing like see-through, like men wearing like see-through, sparkly white trousers, like got like glitter all over their faces, like unicorn horns, and it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Just having a great time, mate. Just having a great time being free.
Well, I was going to say what they're doing is MDMA, clearly. But, I mean, why have you got dressed like a fucking pixie? Like, you look like a twat.
Oh, my God, we're so old.
I know. I remember the day where you man would go out and you'd try and look a bit
I think about me going out. It makes me cringe thinking about me going out.
You try and look like you make as little effort as possible, wouldn't you? It's all about looking a bit cash.
We had to... In the clubs in Southend, you had to wear smart trousers.
No, thank you.
I'd basically go out wearing smart trousers, a shirt. Oh, God, smart shoes as well. Imagine going out in a pair of... Well, smart shoes to me was a pair of kickers, obviously, but I was wearing kickers.
One red, one blue.
Work trousers and a smart Ben Sherman shirt.
Oxymoron. I tell you, I am the anti-Groucho Marx. Whereas he famously said, I wouldn't want to join any club that would have me as a member. And I'm the opposite in that if I go to a club and they look at what I'm wearing and don't want to let me in, I definitely don't want to go in there. Like, I only want to go to a club that would have me as a member. So, like, fuck off.
Yeah, but I think you could also spin that round to be exactly what he means. You wouldn't want to go to a...
No, he was saying he was looking for an exclusive club, and if as soon as he got in, well, I think it was actually a comment about anti-Semitism.
What you're saying, but also, you want to be let in for who you are.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to.
But I think it was actually a comment on anti-Semitism because he was Jewish, and he was saying all the exclusive and good country clubs, for example, wouldn't have had Jewish members. Ooh, I think that is beneath the surface of his great quip.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
no,
he's been remembered for years after his death, hasn't he?
He was very... he stands up. He very modern sensibilities.
But don't you think it's weird that Groucho Marx very much... I mean, you've got the whole nose, glasses. That's a bit insensitive as
but
well.
But then Carl, people... You know, that hasn't stood the test of time so much, has it?
No. Or Harpo.
No, or Harpo.
Or Dweezil.
Do you know the eldest Marx brother that died and very little known what his name was?
Howard.
Gummo. And how do I know that? Because the film Gummo by Harmony Korine of 1996 was named after the eldest obscure Marx brother.
You love that film.
Love that film. Best film ever. I've watched that film more than I've watched anything else.
But I think it's strange that why would he have survived more than any others? Like, in a generation, no one will remember who...
Because the others were, it was all physical comedy, but Groucho had one-liners that can be written down and passed on. Like that quote I just said. I mean, Harpo never had any. Harpo's like, nick, nick, meh, boing. Like that sort of thing. Did you like that?
That was funny when he said that.
Yeah. When he said nick, nick, and then like pulled someone's nose and poked them in the eye. I mean, it's abuse.
Why was it okay to wear a fake Jewish nose?
Because he was Jewish.
Moustache? Yeah, but not for us it isn't, is it?
Isn't
that
no.
The equivalent of blacking up by wearing one of those glasses, nose, moustache combos?
Can black people black up?
No. I'm talking about us. Like, black up. But if I wore a Groucho Marx glasses, nose, and moustache, no one would bat an eyelid.
I've got another question for you.
I want an answer to that one, please.
Well, no, it's not, clearly. But no, it is. I don't know. Is it? What about if a mixed race person wanted to be. Go to a fancy dress as a darker person. Are they allowed to shade up?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Let us know. Get in touch.
Is it okay to white up? Down?
No.
Would you wipe down? I don't know.
You can wipe down. I think you can wipe down.
Wipe down my number.
At this fancy dress party, because you've come as a safari guy and I'm into it. What's the sexiest fancy dress?
Schoolgirl.
Why?
I just said the most inappropriate thing. The sexiest fancy dress would probably be...
You know what is
fireman.
It? Can I give you some... What?
Fireman.
But why do women like firemen?
I think women, again, going on to how relationships can be arduous and difficult patches, I think women like a man with a profession and there's a good chance he won't come home that night. It's like, yeah, he left his pants on the floor.
You're a stand-up comedian. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. But you get a phone call. He's burnt to death. Tower 2 collapsed as he was climbing.
I didn't realise you meant wouldn't come home for that reason. I thought you meant was busy.
No, I meant like might go to work and never come back because he's running up the stairs in Tower 2 as it collapses.
Seems unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, that's never going to happen, is it?
Seems unlikely. I reckon firemen might be one of the safest professions there is.
I think about 9/11. Why were they running upstairs to put the fire out? That doesn't seem...
No, I think they were trying to rescue people, mate. I think you missed it.
No, but why... I don't know,
I think it's fire and rescue at that point.
All right, yeah, but I just think running up... Them buildings were quite tall.
Yeah, don't go up the stairs, use a lift.
Well, it does seem a bit like old... I mean, it's how long ago was it now? 18 years ago? It seems a bit sort of like from an old era. Like, it just seems like something that you just wouldn't do now.
No.
Do you know what I mean? It just seems a bit like, of course that was a bad idea.
To clear out the floors, weren't they? That's the thing. Get out, make sure everyone got out. Do you remember there was a woman, famously, who was like telling people to get back to their desks?
Fucking Jobsworth.
Imagine that. Everyone back to... But imagine that. Some people
you know
will have
like
gone
that.
Back to their desks because she made them.
You know someone like that, don't you?
I do know someone.
That would say... No, but if you think about it, I mean, the fire was right at the top. By the time you get up anywhere near it... They're better if they just come down on their own.
Yeah.
So they just stood at the bottom and said, come down. Like when it's boys' dinner time. Banging a triangle.
I think, yeah, maybe they invested a little bit more in actually making sure it was safe. But, yeah, it didn't work because the towers collapsed.
At what stage do you start running? Then turn around and, start running down as you can hear the... Well, you wouldn't have known it was collapsing, would you?
No, I think it probably was too quick. I was at work at that time. I worked in central London. And I was told that we were... Because basically London was evacuated as well. Loads of people were just sent home. But me and my friend Ben, they said, oh, we need skeleton staff to stay. And it's been chosen that Ben will stay.
A bit insensitive. And
we just went, okay. We just stayed.
Do you remember the London riots?
Of course, that was weird, wasn't it?
And I just thought there was a point where it happened, like it went to its third day, and I was like, oh, this is like never going to stop.
Yeah, it was very strange, but then it just stopped.
But they sort of nicked loads of people, and I remember thinking, like, it's amazing that just doesn't happen all the time because the police are so outnumbered. We are pretty well behaved as a species, aren't we?
But what I don't understand what happened. We totally and utterly lost our minds as a nation. Like, I remember seeing videos of people in Romford just turning over a Sports Direct and a hobby car.
Yeah, it started going like it was happening like in the Midlands and that. Because it was just like everyone was just like, oh, we can do if we all do this, they can't stop us. And I'm just thinking, why doesn't that happen more in a way? It's always quite surprising how infrequent that is.
It's a very fine line. But then they just stopped sort of reporting it. It's very strange.
Okay, this is dark, but I'm going to tell you this because it's sort of the truth. For example, Steve Wright, the guy in Ipswich that was murdering the prostitutes. Right?
Yeah.
When it sort of like ended, kind of get that feeling when a series you've been watching finishes.
What a disappointment that they've caught the guy.
I wouldn't go that far, but I mean, it's kind of like quite interesting in the news to see how many he's going to do. You do find yourself, and the frenzy of it all, the media get on it, and you do start going, oh, there's been another one, fucking hell, and it's all sort of not exciting.
I see what you said, but that's because that just highlights the the news and the way it's now
entertainment.
Yeah, it's sensationalized, and it's like, do you remember that guy in America that was killing people? He would, and it turned out he was in the back
sniper.
Of his car,
yeah,
laying down.
The DC sniper.
Sock. Yeah.
He had a sock down the front of his trousers to make his dick look bigger.
No, he
had that
a sock
guy
to block the hole, and then he pulled that out and then shot people. And but it was like a film. It was told like a film.
Well, I think even the way wars are reported now, where you get the footage of the drones, and it's all too much. It's all you lose complete empathy for it being real people's lives, because it comes to you through the same prism as entertainment, doesn't it?
Well, I think I said this the other day. Me and the boy went to Insomnia Gaming Festival, and there they had the army because they're doing a real drive.
Yeah. You did. They would turn it into a game.
It was like, oh, sitting here, look, you can. We basically highlighted a bloke on the other side of the NEC on the infrared camera, and my son put the crosshairs on him as if we were going to blow him away.
No, I don't think that's okay.
I'm pleased that he did not enjoy that process. But the soldier was like, yeah, so you could just pick him out. You can see, like, there's no hiding because we can see his heat signature.
It's like watching your son, like, symbiotically become part of a killing machine.
That is exactly what it was.
You must have been so proud.
And the soldier was
egging him on.
Oh, just like it's a computer game. It's like, just like, it's just a joystick, just like your computer game. And my son, I think, luckily, was a bit like, oh no, because we were looking at a bloke who didn't know he was being targeted by a cannon.
That's actually quite fucked up, mate.
It's really weird, isn't it? We targeted a bloke with, obviously it wasn't loaded or anything, but we targeted him, we aimed at him, and then we could basically could have just taken him out without him even knowing. And that's happening now in the world, that stuff.
It's very odd. Like I say, the disconnect now, that I think even if you think about it, like a lot of military personnel are nerds sat in bunkers in Florida flying drones into places in Kabul or wherever, do you know what I mean?
Like, well, isn't there a film of that now? Like, basically, they walk into booths, don't they? And then they pilot the drone and then just go home from their booth. They don't.
I thought you said
action.
Boots, the chemist. I thought they're going in there for a meal deal on their break.
Yeah.
Fucking prawn sandwich and a bottle of smart water.
They're always going to their boots.
Anyway, I come and saw you at 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday.
You come and saw me at 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday.
On my way home for a gig early in the morning on Saturday, last Saturday.
Yes, you did. You come into Radio Essex. Yeah.
That was fun, wasn't it?
It was really good fun. You were desperate to get away as soon as you turned up, though.
I was. But to be fair, I hadn't eaten. That was more a hunger thing. I actually pilfered some stale Aldi Pringles off a desk that were stolen. I stole some food.
Yeah, you did. It was good though.
Yeah. I think they had weevils. They were so stale. They were like fucking. I felt like I was at the communion.
Well, they've been there since I started at Radio Essex. So yeah,
that's how hungry I was.
But you liked it. You enjoyed the studio.
It was nice to be in a proper studio with you, you big shot, lording it over me, telling me what to do.
That didn't happen, did it?
No, and so
Matt Adlington, friend of the show,
Matt Adlington,
and then you saw Ross McGrain as well. He came in.
Yeah, he came in, and John Oakes and someone else who I didn't know.
I didn't know him either.
No, it was awkward, that, isn't it?
It's always strange.
Especially when he started chipping in with banter. I was like,
I was going to say, I thought it was almost like you did know him because he was quite banterous with you.
Yeah, you have to earn that shit with Jussie Peanuts, mate. You can't just come in on the top floor. Once you're up on the top floor with Jussie Peanuts, you can say anything to me. You can. I have to invite you up.
I think you're absolutely right.
You have to get I have to offer you the keys to the executive bathroom.
Even if the person... It's a bit like, because I went on the stag do the other day with just friends. I knew them all. But, you know, have you ever been you're not really a stag do type.
You'd be surprised. Carry on.
When there's someone that isn't part of that group, like, you know, someone's friend of a friend.
Yeah,
like,
his mate
from the other area comes in. And he's already at the level of you and the other guys. I always think, all right, mate, like, know your place.
Yeah.
You don't belong in this area. Which is really weird, because you might like him, he might be funny, but I always think I judge it as how I would react. I'd go in and be quiet and head down.
I think subconsciously, and even if you're not a competitive person, I think naturally, subconsciously, human beings, you do take there's a feeling out process to establish in your own mind certainly some semblance of a pecking order.
Yeah, mine would be to be silent and not talk to any of the other people unless I was spoken to, and they'd hope that the weekend just went away.
Yeah, well, I don't know why you agreed to go, Ash. You're a fool to yourself.
Yeah.
You was never going to enjoy yourself, were you? But it's one of those, there's a duty, isn't it? I would say at this stage of my life...
I mean, I enjoyed myself. I did enjoy myself.
I doubt that. But I think at this stage of my life, I would put on par going on a stag do to helping someone move house. I think I would get a sense of altruism and that I've been a good friend, but I would enjoy helping someone move or driving someone to an airport. I would enjoy that equally as much as a stag do, i.e. not at all, but I would feel I've been a good friend and done my duty here.
We went to Brewdog in Budapest, and I know the stag likes Brewdog a lot, but everyone else went, oh God, this is disgusting. So, I mean, where do we go from there as friends, really?
He thought Brewdog was disgusting.
They all thought it was horrible, other than the stag and me.
Well, what did they have? Did they have Punk? Punk is quite the most pungent one, maybe.
Well, no. See, I told them to go for Punk, but they went for Dead Pony Club. So,
Dead Pony's like a floral modern lager.
Well, it's got a...
What are they, fucking Stella boys?
Oh, they'd be, yeah, lager.
Well, there's lagers, isn't there? But like modern,
they'd just be
generic bland lager.
Yeah.
Well, they sound like cunts.
They're my friends.
Well, again, you've just doubled down on my statement there, rather than challenge it.
You'll meet them all one day, which would be nice, wouldn't it?
Oh, the big day, eh? When's that again? Set a date yet?
No.
No, I might not come. By the way, I'm busy on that day. You haven't set.
Fair enough, mate. Yeah, but I would judge you not even harshly.
I think you would judge me favourably. I think that's four more mouths I haven't got to feed. What a guy! What a mensch!
Your wife would be there.
Oh, she'd be furious if I. So you must ask me in secret, and I would decline in secret, because if you knew I'd turned down a wedding, I would be in trouble.
It wouldn't be the same day without you being there, though. So.
Oh, it'd be better.
I'd be in a suit, probably.
I've got a suit, actually. I wore the jacket to my...
I remember you buying it. Do you remember the palaver of you buying a suit last year?
When I got talked into it by a camp tailor, who basically, when I put the suit on, just started bigging up my body. And I was like, okay, I'll buy it.
Oh, do you dress to the left or the right? Or both, sir, by the look of things?
Yeah, because my penis is splitting off. All that sounding and docking. But I am... No, he started going on about like my tremendous thighs, and I was like, I'll take it. And it was...
I'll take the suit, please. Make me another.
Yeah, and it was more... I thought that there was a price tag. It was $280, but that was just the jacket.
Oh, my God.
And I thought the whole thing was $280, and then this trousers was like $190.
Oh, no.
And then I bought matching silk... pink and pale blue tie and pocket square with little flamingos on for like 90 quid. But it's like handcrafted fine silk.
Oh God, I hate suits so much.
And I've worn it once.
Oh.
But I did
like
wear the jacket.
Expensive, one of the most expensive things you've ever bought.
Do you know what? Well, obviously cars, house car, computers. Yeah, it's up there. But I wore the jacket to my cruise ship family-friendly audition.
How was that? Yeah, it's not easy, is it?
Well, they put the comedians... Oh, I thought it was bad. They put the four comedians on first. It was in a casino, not in a back room, in the...
I can't believe they did that.
Just in the... Like, people walking past.
I mean, bearing in mind there are function rooms there. I think I'm in one on Friday.
Yeah, I've done that one. So... The four comedians, we do our bit, we're like, let's get the fuck out of it. And as we leave, this band's on stage, like doing their audition.
Yeah, you said like, oom bap,
booda. No, it was a. It was like, hello, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna do some music for you now. Woo-hoo-hoo! We are Indecisive Decision. Woo-hoo-hoo! Do you like the Human League? And then like some guy come out singing whatever that song is.
How does it feel?
No, that's fucking New Order.
Oh yeah.
It was like Mirror Man or something like that. Like some guy with a big outgrown Hitler hairstyle, like Phil Oakey over half of his fucking face. So anyway, when I was in there, I went in the toilet beforehand and there was like a magician or someone in a waistcoat with frosted tips doing his hair in the mirror. But he'd taken like a full suitcase into the toilet and it was all like all products all out over the sink. And this old bloke like with that sort of white hair, but it's blonde because of nicotine.
Yeah, oh.
God, don't keep making that noise. You're rubbing it in. And the so this little magician.
Yeah, but you stop saying disgusting things. I'll stop saying ugh.
So, don't you did it again then, but more pronounced. Ugh. So that's like rolling your ass to someone who's had their tongue bit off by a bobcat.
Rolling your ass.
Yeah. Oh, flanker. So this bloke, he goes, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm just doing a bit of a show." And he went, "What, in here?" And he went,
"Oh no!"
And he wasn't joking. He went, no, I'm just getting dressed. I'm doing it out there. This bloke was hammered. And I looked down and he had Ben Sherman trainers on. And I was like, make the noise. Ugh.
Ugh.
Yeah, I thought that.
Yucky.
Yucky ducky.
It is horrible. It's horrible. I did a gig and it was so down the middle. It made me, I don't
know. Oh, those are the worst ones that make you question everything.
Yeah, just straight down the middle. They laughed at some, they didn't at others. I did nothing. I basically didn't interfere with the evening whatsoever.
When those mediocre, then you feel like that's a bit like an anxiety dream where you can have no effect either way.
But the worst of it was the guy running the gig said to me, "Did you have fun?" I said, yeah, good stuff. He went, "Oh, good, that's all that matters."
Yeah, that's kind of not in the remit. I guess it is an unwritten thing when you do comedy that the audience must have fun as well.
Yeah, but then we all got a message afterwards saying, "Hi guys, thanks for like a good evening." I didn't even say that. I think it just literally said, "Hiya, I hope you all had a good time at the gig."
Did you do?
You need to commit to thanks. It was great or something.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah. Did you, or don't send the message? Did you feel that you were particularly mediocre? Did anyone do well?
I mean, I think I didn't hang around. Come on, I opened.
But you must have seen someone else do something.
I saw the MC, Scott Adams, friend of the U.
Yeah, he did all right.
He did all right. He got some laughs. Yeah.
But openings, I'll tell you what, that opening's difficult because, like, A, it is just difficult to open. And then also, if you don't stick around to see the rest of the show, you assume everyone's done better than you. But then if you do stick around and they actually do better than you, then you should have left. It's sort of like a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah, Scott just tried talkative. They weren't very talkative. So he got laughs as well, but they kind of laughed and then stopped laughing. And it's weird, like some of the stuff they would laugh at and some they didn't. They might not necessarily have been a comedy crowd. And it was for a fundraising thing for a footballer, Kevin Beattie, to build him a statue at Ipswich Town. And at the end of the thing, I was like, I spoke about him. Like, just, you know, some of the things, like Bob Paisley says his biggest regret is not signing him for Liverpool and all this. And they just looked blankly at me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I think it's really good that you've done this. You know, it's a great football club, Ipswich Town.
Yeah, do you think sometimes you can go to something like that and think, right, they're not comedy fans. They must all be here to support the cause. But maybe they're not that either. Maybe they just were forced. And you start, yeah, I've done that. I remember I did one, it was for a dolphin sanctuary. And I started talking about dolphins. And they all just fucking looked at me like, what? And it turns out that this club, or this venue, has a comedy night every month, and it's the same crowd that come, and they just donate the money to a different charity each month. But I thought they were all proper into their dolphins.
Oh.
So I just go up there and start going, I said to this bald bloke, I go, how into dolphins are you? I mean, when you're in bed, does she draw a blowhole in the middle of your head with a Sharpie?
Yeah.
Nice. And they were just like, well, I don't think they knew it was about dolphins.
No.
And it was just like so they just looked like that looked like that was my bit. Oh, here comes that guy.
Bit.
Yeah, the dolphin guy. My signature bit.
Imagine if you just did that like Covent Garden on Saturday. All right, mate, how in the Dolphins are you? It'd go, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, it was literally, that's what, I mean, that is what happened. That is, yeah. I mean, not in my head it isn't, but in reality, in the room, that is exactly what I did do.
Wow.
And, you've probably done the same thing with his statue.
I had no idea it was for a statue.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Never mind. I did Covent Garden on Saturday and I had a lovely old time.
Well done. So, you did Epping and then you did...
Yeah, Epping, I was 8 minutes into my set. When the first 8 minutes are cleanish. Then I'm not going to lie, the last 12 minutes is pretty filthy. So I was just getting into filth mode. Look over at the bar. Two sub-10-year-old children walk in.
Your specialty.
I turned my back to the bar and I said, am I imagining it? Was there two kids over there? And I shouldn't have done it. Everyone in the audience looked over and went, yeah, they're it.
Oh, no.
And I went, oh, that's... maybe I'll do this joke later. And then I started fast forwarding going, no, it's all like this. The last 12 minutes is all as bad as each other.
That's me. That was me on Saturday. Like, because some of it, they weren't laughing. They weren't not laughing. They were just sort of amused. And I thought, right, okay, we need to change this a little bit or go somewhere. And I was thinking, no, got nothing. Can't. Like, I was very much on the train tracks heading to one location and one location only.
So I said, should I just carry on? And this bloke went, yeah, fuck it. And I went, yeah. But I just did think it knocked me, and then they did leave after about 4 minutes. And I got my
whose kids were they?
Some absolute piece of shit sat at the bar who started off heckling and was really annoying. So but it was a decent enough gig. It was a bit parochial. It was right in the middle of nowhere. Well, I mean, it wasn't. It was like 1 minute from the M25, but felt like the middle of nowhere. It was one of those ones.
Yeah,
around Waltham Crossway. Yeah, and it's sort of like you think... But, you know, got through that. And then Saturday was... I had a lovely time Saturday. Really did. Fun.
Did you MC Covent Garden?
Yeah, I MC Covent Garden. And I hit some out of the park, made some crowd work, I have to say.
You don't have to say.
Well, I think it's important that...
I
think it's important. I mean, I haven't got many other people championing me. So I might have to start doing it myself. But again, that's as being the, like I said, all the, I feel like the podcast audience are all on the,
on the cusp.
No, I was saying they're all on, you know, I say you have to be invited up to my executive suite and then you can, I'm a tragic figure, I think, to them.
Well, here's one person that you're not a tragic figure to. Oliver Wiles has upped his pledge on Patreon. So I need to give him a shout out. Thank you, Oliver. If people want to donate anything, Justin, if they want to do $1 a month with about 80 pence, what can they do?
They go to patreon.com/pranksandfirth.
Yes.
And they can support this great content. I mean...
You get an extra podcast every single month.
They hear us for 45 minutes to an hour a week, but they don't know the groundwork, the research, the writing we do. Oh, no. Sorry. Edit that out. No, but they just support it, because why the fuck not?
And there's mugs.
Two mugs, mate. Yeah, me and you.
People ask for mugs, so we have got mugs. If you want a mug, you can buy one.
Yeah, we can't give them away. They were expensive, weren't they?
They were fairly expensive for mugs. Now, I buckled to pressure. People said, you should do mugs. I said, all right, we'll do mugs.
So now put your money where your mouth is. Put your money in our account and you're going to have a mug where your mouth is.
We haven't quite got the postage down yet, but what are we saying for the mug? £10, I think we're saying.
£10 inclusive of postage unless you live somewhere weird. So,
yes.
Yeah, but that's literally at cost. People are going to go, £10 for a mug. I wouldn't pay £10 for a mug, I'll be honest with you. But if you want one, and you wanted them, if I can get one. Because we'll be lumbered with them.
Mugs. It's going to be a tenner and we will post it to you, assuming...
So Ash has ordered 250 mugs. We need to shift them.
I'll ask how much it costs to post a mug to Germany, just in case there's someone out there that wants a mug. But I've no idea how much it costs
to drink his fucking Liebflamausch from.
Exactly. And if you do buy a mug, you can do it. You can just send us the... You could just do it on PayPal, or let me know. Send us a message. We'll sort it out, and I'll send the mugs, and you can have a mug. But we do need a picture of you drinking from the mug. I think that is key.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have one, won't you? You'll have a mug, won't you?
Oh, I'd love a mug, mate.
That's £10. Well done.
Have we got any money then, or?
That mate, no, no.
None whatsoever.
And also, you can go to co-fee.com/pranks. Is that right?
I think the Patreon might. Yeah, that's pranks. And Patreon's pranks and firth.
You work it out. Listen,
yeah. Yeah.
But thank you, everyone who has supported us. And thank you for your continued support. This has been another podcast starring over there, Justin Panks.
Over here. And over there.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Ash Frith.
Yeah, we should do that. That's good. That
like two on. Ronnies.
Yeah. All right, I'll speak to you soon.
Well, all right. Bye.